Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, especially corrupt public officials pillaging the public dollar. You're not welcome on the Hostile Zone. Everyone else, without you, I would be nothing. I'm your humble correspondent, Eric A. Sonati, with a big A, Eric Andrew Sonati. And Miss Bianca is not here. She normally would say, Eric Sonati. Miss Bianca is working on another project. She'll be out for a couple days. So, folks, you have the lovely experience of having me alone today. But today is a special show. Today is a live call-in show. We need a ticker production. Ticker, please. Thank you. So on the ticker, folks, if you're watching this at home on your cable network, and if you're not getting it on your local cable network, call them and demand that they provide. If you're listening to it on the radio, then I'll give you the call-in number. You can also email the show, thehostilezone at bbstalkradio.com, thehostilezone at bbstalkradio.com, Eric Sonati at bbstalkradio.com, Bianca C, like the ocean, at bbstalkradio.com, and always at Eric at ericandrewsonati.com. Welcome to another exciting show. Coming at you live. We're taking live callers. So we are discussing a very sensitive issue. But let me start with the call-in number for our listeners and not viewers. You can call in toll-free in the continental U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008. And you will get right to the switchboard. And you first come, first serve. I can't guarantee you get through. If you get through, you get a chance to speak to today's guest. Today's guest, we have a psychologist who works with forensics and all kinds of great stuff. And he's an expert in child abuse and neglect, etc. I'd like to welcome to the show. Can you lean over a bit so I can see you? This light's blocking. Welcome Dr. Robert Riddle out of Chicago, Illinois. Welcome, doctor. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's great to be here. Like you said, this is my specialty.
Right.
This is something that I see day in and day out. And I'm excited to help just educate people.
Right. And that is a big, big thing. And you know what? It's funny you should say that because we do have a lot of controversial episodes. And this is going to be one. I'm going to do a disclaimer for everyone. But we talk about the lack of the education system. So they're definitely not being educated on children. So let me go into the monologue of the show. Then you will know why Dr. Robert Riddle is here. So opening monologue. Child abuse is a profound, tragic issue that affects far too many children across the board. Now, there are some tendencies with numbers, with ethnicities and et cetera, but it pretty much goes across the board. In my book, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, Dr. Riddle, one child is too many children.
Absolutely.
Right? No child should suffer any pain other than falling off their bike or whatever, right? So, I believe, for my bots and trolls, by the way, I like when you bot and troll me because you actually raise my numbers, so I don't care what you say on social media. Reported about 380,000 cases have been brought to light in the past year. Now, putting my lawyer hat on and your doctor hat, forensics, that's a lot of cases. And I know, as a lawyer, I know how many cases, it's like a funnel. How many cases, the one at the bottom of the funnel is what goes to court. It's the same thing. So you're talking probably millions of children are being abused and neglected. We're going to get into your stories after the month. I'm very excited. We've got callers calling in already, I understand. So what is great about this show is that we're going to bring to light not just the numbers, but we're going to discuss all the different types of abuse because some people think certain things are abuse. And there are legal definitions that make it a little different. So that's kind of good because I can explain what defines child abuse based on what state you live in. I happen to know a couple of them. Dr. Riddle, where Where do you mainly practice at? I know you consult on a lot of cases. And actually, you and I worked on a case together. You just didn't know that I was working on a homicide.
Yeah. Yeah. So I normally practice out of the state of North Carolina. I've practiced in Chicago and Denver.
Chicago? Are you an Al Capone fan? You better be. I'm playing with you.
You could say that.
It's a riddle, Dr. Riddle.
Yeah. I have taken
Did you get made fun of in school with that?
I have taken the Al Capone la, tour la, in Chicago.
La, 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 la. No free drinks, though.
Right, no. Yeah.
Hey, right. I got one for you. To lighten the mood. We got to keep it light.
Right.
Do you know why a gentleman, a chivalrous gentleman, walks with a lady in his arm and he puts the lady to the wall of the buildings and not on the street? I bet you don't know why.
I do not. I've heard that that's a rule. Yeah, but I don't know why.
I believe you do think there is another rule. What is that rule you're thinking? Or you don't know? Because it's okay.
I don't. Yeah.
Well, folks,
I don't. Off the top of my
head. Sinati's going to tell you right here. I'm pulling the curtain back and I'm exposing the truth on an old school chivalry thing. So in the 1920s, or the roaring 20s, Prohibition, Al Capone, you know, a lot of things with alcohol. So the man would walk with his woman on the side of the buildings, not for any water or dirt, but for machine gun fire when somebody came by shooting at a bar that was selling illegally. Yeah. A little pun fact for you. Bring that back to Chicago.
Okay.
Go to Capone's Pizza.
The drive-by shootings.
Yeah. Well, the Tommy guns.
Yeah.
So, back to the monologue, folks. So, the impact on these victims really is deep and really more than long-lasting. They're life-lasting, right? I mean, people have gone through. We got on future interviews, I need to have you over here. Because okay. I can't make eye contact with you. Let me see the hair here. So I get a better. I like to make contact. Right. And I have to look. Okay, so yeah, the impact though. Tell me your experience. It's like the hidden children, right? So, what are like some underlying signs that you see forensically, and otherwise, what do you see that is what is it that you see? You know, is a sign that maybe a mandated reporter or somebody might see, like a really hidden sign, basic, simple.
Yeah, so things that most people don't know, signs of child abuse could be anything from bedwetting, bruises.
Now, here's the question with bedwetting, because I worked on these cases.
Right.
I did multiple years specifically assigned to the special victim section, so I did these cases. And bedwetting was reported a lot. Children bedwet too. So how does a parent out there, how do our listeners and viewers, how do they distinguish between this is a problem going on somewhere or it's another biological issue?
Yeah, so I think there's two factors to consider there. One would be the age of the child. For instance, if you have a two-year-old child that's potty training that wets the bed, that would be one thing. If you have an 11-year-old child that's still wetting the bed, that's a good sign that there's some sort of abuse going on.
And I remember I used to get a lot of fire setters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they get that, and cutters too.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing with child abuse is it's never just one symptom. So like bedwetting could be one thing,
right.
But
everybody reacts differently. Right?
Yeah. If you see a delayed socio-emotional development, avoidance of certain people, especially family members.
Right. At what age do the children have avoidance issues?
It depends on the age at which the abuse takes case.
Yeah. You got a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You have a great profile. Yeah. So as always, folks, I provide you a relevant famous quote and I tell you who the person is. So today's quote, children are the hands by which we take hold of heaven. Children are the hands by which we take hold of heaven. Henry Ward Beecher. This quote reminds us of how precious and the innocence of our children and the important responsibility on each one of us to protect them. They are tomorrow. There's your quote. What do you think? Good quote? What would you quote?
I think it's a great quote, yeah. I mean, the children are the future of our country, the future of our world.
We're having so many problems, man.
Yeah, it's about time that someone stood up and protected them. Out of the, as Eric mentioned earlier, out of the multi-hundreds of thousands of cases just in the U.S. per year of child abuse, not to mention human trafficking all around the world.
I got stories on that.
About 1% actually end up going to trial.
I see that here, yeah. Less than 1% actually make it to trial.
Yep.
And the child is supposed to be appointed their own attorney, guardian, and litem. But I know that doesn't happen a lot.
Rarely.
So who's truly representing the child? You got a contentious husband and a contentious wife fighting over divorce, and the child gets stuck in the middle.
Yep.
So who's representing them? Child is being abused, maybe, or neglected. What is the what is your clinical forensic definition between abuse and neglect? And then I'll give you the legal.
Yeah, so from a clinical perspective, abuse is a very intentional act. That's something, when you think about the words active and passive.
I like that. Are going to spin that into legal.
Yeah, neglect is very passive. That's a person that just doesn't care and isn't around.
So now I'm going to spin that for you, right? I'm going to put the lawyer hat back on. So in the legal world, to prosecute a case, you have to have an act, the actus reus, the act of the crime. But also, a crime is defined by an act or an omission. That's why you can get neglect. So the act is hurting them. And the omission is what you were supposed to do that you didn't do. That's how we can prosecute.
Yep.
So we do. We are aligned here.
Yeah.
They're actually very similar, I think, in concept. I mean, and it requires forethought. You know, you're thinking about it. But I think a problem, honestly. And I've written several columns, and I'm published in multiple places. And I have slammed some of these child protective agencies, specifically North Carolina. DSS is just a terrible agency. Firstly, here's the problem with DSS in the state of North Carolina. Unlike most states that operate normal, I don't know what goes on in North Carolina. That's a whole episode for another day. But they have what they call DSS, and that is run by each county. So there's no state mandation going on. So if your case is opened up on you, then the county DSS workers, because they don't even go to investigation school, from which, by the way, I wrote and was the first professor in that program in New Jersey, we talked about. And the curriculum is pretty tough. But they don't have much of that stuff. They have some training, but whatever. But if you are the offender parent, right, then if you move out of county, literally from one county to the next, they have to send the file to the next county. And what happens if the next county doesn't want the file? They refuse the case. So, and the case is over because they don't have jurisdiction to come over and do anything. That's a serious situation. A state that I'm very familiar with, the great state of New Jersey, outstanding New Jersey. Shout out to Angelo. Hey, Frankie, I'll see you in a day. I missed the pizza, really. You got to come up to Jersey. So in Jersey, it is a state agency overrun by the Attorney General's Office, which is the investigative law enforcement body. Like the state police, but the investigative body, and they implant the investigators into that program, and it's a statewide. So they go anywhere in the state, and there is an interstate compact clause. So they do work together with other states. But if you have problems transferring within your own county, you think it's really going to get to the state that they went to? I mean, we know what happens when government tries to help, right? We were talking about this on set before. What was the quote you said? The Reagan quote? It was a great quote. I love that quote.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan talked about just being very wary when someone from the government shows up and
says, here to help.
Yeah, I'm from the government.
I'm here to help. You know what that means? You're SOL. I don't want to get another FCC violation, but you know what you do on the toilet bowl? You're out of luck because it's over for you. But that was a very good quote, actually. So The other problem, too, in the legal side, the prosecutorial side, where we need a lot more people like you doing this stuff, is it is very hard case to prosecute because you have to, A, interview the child, which is an additional specialized training I had to do, and I had to work with the anatomical dolls. Folks, an anatomical doll is like a teddy bear. Is Miss Bianca Lee a teddy? No teddy. You figured there'd be a teddy bear, Miss Bianca Lee. Well, anyway, it's a teddy bear, but it has adult sexual organs. Everything into, so then you can express that. But you know what, folks? You're not going anywhere because we're going into a commercial. Don't make Sonati come looking for you.
At the Rant Round Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
I'm trying to hold my breath. Let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting louder now. Can you hear it echoing? Take my hand. Will you share this with me? This darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Tower of gold is still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be enough. Never be enough again. Never, never. Never, never. Never for me. For me.
Welcome back to the show. And you know what? That was the perfect commercial. The Rambaran Law Firm. Outstanding service. I personally have experience with them as using them for work and also working there. So very, very well educated and an excellent litigator. If you have to go to trial, you want him on your side. Hands down. Hands down. You heard him. He speaks so eloquent, but he goes into the courtroom and he's a ferocious animal for his client. If you reach out to the Rambaran Law Firm, we'll be providing a promo code, and there's some opportunities that we have going on there. Is it going to be a member and an app coming out if you get pulled over, coming out along with my book when it gets released? So segueing back into where we were. Actually, the Ram Ram Law Firm does a lot of child cases. He actually volunteered to do Guardian Light of stuff because they didn't have anybody. Would you like to take a caller?
I'd love to take a call, yeah.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of callers. We might as well get a live caller.
Let's hear some questions.
Yeah, they're telling me. Okay, let's go to a caller. Let's go to Lexi out of Chicago. Welcome, Lexi.
Hi.
Hi, can you lean into your phone or whatever you're using a little bit louder?
Is this better?
Much better. Lexi, welcome to the show. You're on the Hostile Zone.
In your face.
Welcome to the show.
I've been watching the show for a long time, and I just had a question regarding your topic of today.
Absolutely. Fire away.
What are the long-term effects of child abuse?
On a legal level, I'll give you that standpoint, and then we'll go to Dr. Riddle. And I think we're going to align on this one. One of them is fire setting, because that becomes problematic for the community. That, I think, is very poignant, because now every little boy plays with magic. They lie and say they don't, but I lit everything on fire I could find. And then I joined the fire department. And then I decided to put them out. But I wasn't, that was like a normal voice thing. So it's very hard to tell. But you're talking people that light everything on fire, Lexi, like literally playing with matches all the time. That's something to really be alarming. It is a problem for the community, and it will become a problem for the child as they mature into adulthood, aging out of minorhood. If they do that, that is a heavy felony. Heavy. We're not talking a stupid low-level felony. We're talking something that could be life-changing. Also, they tend to have situations where they become easily raped and molested because they put themselves in the same situation that they were in previously, hanging out with Dr. He's shaking with my head. I knew we would align on this. I see on the investigative legal side, they literally rush to somebody that's similar to the victim, you know, to the offender. Kind of like they say, you know, the thing where they say men try to find a woman to marry that is similar to their mom. I don't know why, but if you believe Freud, they should see your beard, by the way.
Yeah.
What was your specific? Was there something specific you want to know? I mean, nobody knows anything more than your first name and where you are.
No, I don't think so.
What would you like to add into that? Now, a clinical one.
Yeah, so from a clinical perspective, speaking of Freud, they don't call him the father of psychology for nothing. He spoke all about the effects of abuse on children. So did many other psychologists.
Children, I think Eric Erickson did too.
Yes, sir. Right. Yep. Children who have experienced
Maslow hierarchy of needs.
He did. Yep.
I get you there, man. I got the law and the psychology.
Children who have experienced abuse or neglect are at an increased risk for a number of problematic developmental health, mental outcomes. This could include learning problems like.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Learning problems like.
Which gets misdiagnosed as ADHD.
Right. Well, and it could.
They're showing similar stuff, right?
It could turn into ADHD.
It could create it. Yeah. I've heard that. I've seen it, but I don't know how I feel about that.
It could also include problems relating to peers, like peer rejection, internalizing symptoms that could look like depression or anxiety, external symptoms that could look like...
holding in?
No, more like oppositional defiance disorder.
Isn't that in the DSM-5?
Yep.
Oppositional defiance?
That, a conduct disorder, increased aggression, even PTSD.
I got an input on here. I cut you off on it. I really do not like PTSD. Here's the fact. It's PTSS, post-traumatic stress syndrome, because you're not broken and it's not a disorder. You weren't born that way. You either served your country or something and got it, or somebody did something to you to create it. I mean, you just don't have those kind of things going on. So I just don't think it's not right to label somebody with a disorder. It's just people look down on that, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, it can be controversial, especially with children. as adults, so I think the original question was, what were the long-term effects?
Yeah, feel free to jump in, Lexi. We didn't catch you from the call. Yeah, if you want to ask more, keep going. You're still on.
As adults, these children that were abused, they show an extremely increased risk for psychiatric disorders.
What's the main one?
PTSD, yeah. Can be also a substance use disorder.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, if you were abused as a child, especially sexually, you're at about a 60% increased risk.
So let me ask you a question. I know that it's not in your answer, but it's going to be relevant, and I want your opinion. I think it's good. With the advancement of technology, social media, and internet pornography so available, are you seeing in your world an uptick in stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
children are becoming hypersexualized.
Yeah.
Which could be us looking like a symptom of abuse, but you're just learning it from YouTube or whatever.
In 1980, the average age that a young boy would see pornography for the first time, and we're talking about...
Yeah, bro, there. Come on, man, I'm going to get FCC violations now because I'm going to start laughing.
Yeah, the average age would be about 12 to 14 years old.
To see a porno mag.
Yeah. Right.
And it was usually found in a dumpster behind them somewhere to be found.
Yeah, right. Or under dad's, dad's car seat.
These poor kids today, they don't know. They don't know how good they have it.
It's 8 years old now. So the average boy sees pornography by the age of eight. And so, you know, by the time they get to 15 or 16 years old, they're hypersexualized, and there's an increased risk for them raping someone, molesting someone, and
I want to add something to that. Because I want you, I think you're going to segue with this on me with this. I had a case, I can't say named obviously, but the parents were literally nudists in the house. Right? And the child was now like 12. This was problematic. I pushed for charges, and the higher up told me no. And I put several attempts to charge the family. But at 12 years old, the child was walking around naked in the house too. Right. I mean, come on. Yeah. Not on this show. Not in my house.
Yeah, there are so many things. You know, going back to Freud. There are so many things that
Let me just say thank you for the call, Lexi. She's off the line. We appreciate your support. Pass out the word. Make sure you take the phone number off there and call in again. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for calling, Lexi.
Yeah, so going back to Freud, there were a lot of things that Sigmund Freud said that were wrong just because he was in the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s. Psychology really hadn't been...
Which is the one that did with the drilling in the forehead, right?
Yeah.
What's that word again? Where they drilled the hole to let the demons out of your brain?
Yeah, I can't...
Lobotomy, and they had another name.
Right.
Was he the practitioner on that idea?
No, that was before him.
Okay. What was his stance
on that? He was really one of the first ones to go away from the lobotomies and away from the, you know, terrible psych wards where they literally took part of your brain out.
They literally took the frontal lobe, which is your emotions. So, they thought it was helping them. They're taking out the section of your brain, folks. The frontal lobe of your brain is the section of your brain that actually helps you decide your emotions and how you're going to respond to something. Then there's different sections of your brain actually provide different things. You know, I don't want to go down a sea hole. By the way, a sea hole is a scenario because I could talk forever.
But
I know you can because we hung out before the show.
I absolutely know what a sea hole is.
So we're not
going
to fall into a riddle hole either.
So Freud said something that is very interesting. He said that humans were motivated by two things, sex or aggression. And you know, a lot of people hear that today and they're like, well, that's not true. That's not right.
I don't buy that because, you know what, Darwin is still legit.
Well,
some things have changed, clearly.
Think about this, everyone that's listening. When's the last time that you saw a movie without anything sexual or anything aggressive?
And you know what? When they started this crap with PG-13 and this nonsense, when I was younger, I could not go to an R-rated movie. They literally made sure you didn't go in. Now you can freaking download it at home. I mean, and YouTube. What's funny is because we're a syndicated TV talk show, radio talk show, we can't really be on YouTube until after the show's aired. But they don't like my algorithms because I tell the truth. But I put it on and I look at the garbage that these kids are looking at. I watch Baby Einstein and some other things. People, you have to pay attention to what you let your children watch. Now, there's a fine line between having your child become technologically up to speed and maybe more advanced, because you don't want your child to be antiquated. They need to be up to date. So, but you have to truly look at, mark this down, production. Let me reach out for a sponsor from one of those programs that do an app for the iPhones, et cetera. Mark that down, please. That's a good promo to run. But anyway, like, you should control the time and control what can be picked up on. Do you want them to learn? I mean, I have a whole other issue with North Carolina because it's off topic, but I got to do it because we talk law here. Mm-hmm. North Carolina has some stupid law now that pornography is not legal here.
Right.
What were you thinking? Do I need to send you a copy of the Constitution? I believe it's Article 1, Section 1. I don't know, maybe. Something to the extent of freedom of speech and expression. Now, I'm not saying pornography is great or whatever. I'm not promoting. But I am promoting free speech. This is the government overreaching. How many times on this show have I said, the government has no right reaching into your bedroom, looking at your stuff and monitoring you. They have no right. And when they do that, they are committing a 1983 federal civil rights and criminal violation. You need to write that down. 1983 federal. Easy to beat the statute of limitations. Lots of ways around. You call the Rambaram Law Firm and we will get you to the right place. You call into the show and we have a referral program as well. All right, just had to put that out there because, you know, it's constitutional. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yep. And, you know, and this kind of, now I can segue back to us. There has to be some responsibility of the parent to do this, monitoring and doing it. So things must be so bad that a pretty right-leaning state, who you would think would be much more flexible with, the laws in the Constitution. Yeah, they look down a little bit more with the Bible stuff and pornography, but they're about free speech. So things must be really bad that they are actually doing it for the parents. At what point then are the parents even going to do anything? You know, you have to go through how long to get a driver's license, but you can have a baby for nothing. Literally, no training. Go tomorrow, you get pregnant, have a baby, whatever you want, name anything you want. Do whatever you want. Until DSS shows up in your house, then it's a nightmare. Because they do anything. Oh, back for the folks out there. I want to let you know something that you know when you talk to a law enforcement officer, whether in uniform or not, they identify themselves as a member of law enforcement. You have your Miranda rights, your right to remain silent, your right to an attorney, your right to, to not speak, to have counsel, all that stuff.
And a speedy trial.
Well, you don't need that at that moment. That's why I didn't want to go all the way, because I would have fell into a sea hole and went all the way to the... Yeah. And I would have got into the 14th Amendment, and I love the 14th Amendment. I used it on a reason, on multiple cases. Yeah. 14th Amendment, folks, is due process. It's a great clause. I love it. It's a great way to beat a stupid judge. So, anyway, with that being said, what's really going on if they have to do that? And come in and literally self-censor people. It doesn't make sense. I mean, are you hearing anything in your world about that?
Um, Yeah, quite honestly, there's not a whole lot of legal stuff that I hear in my
I just
world.
meant like the pornography sense.
Yeah, in terms of pornography, a lot of the children that come in and have been abused, at least in my office and in my experience with observing other people and reading case files and that sort of thing.
Are your case files super thick?
They can
Mine could
be.
be like hundreds of pages.
Yeah, they can be. Sometimes
I
it'll
had a
take
case
you.
that had like four folders.
Yeah, sometimes it'll take you 2 or 3 days to read. Yeah, these kids are being exposed super young. It's really a tragedy because that, I mean, you can't
All this is a
even,
tragedy.
yeah, you can't even serve in the military, until you're a certain age. You can't buy tobacco unless you're 21.
It doesn't. The being a military guy myself, I always never understood why we could do all the stuff, but we
Right.
couldn't buy alcohol, even on
Yeah.
the base. At least on
Right.
base, we should have been allowed. But then
But
they raised the cigarette stuff too. I don't understand.
even, as an 8-year-old, like you can watch pornography.
And they don't even know what they're doing. So then you're. I'm sure the pregnancy rates are going up too.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it deeply scars children.
And that's what I wanted to get to next, asking you about repressed memories, right? Because what are some of the coping mechanisms that you have experienced in your clinical experience and investigative stuff? What is your, it's called like a, what's your assessment, CC, what is it that you do?
CCA.
And then what's the forensic pieces, like other stuff that you, oh yeah. You work with, well, you've done work with sex trafficking stuff too, haven't you? I believe I've seen you around an alphabet agency once or twice. Do you have any experience in that world?
I may have.
I thought we had mutual friends. Nice to see you, buddy.
Yeah,
All right.
and I've heard the same about you.
I'm sure you have. My bots and trolls like to put it out. But it's good though. I won't ask you to talk about anything like that. But I mean, there is stuff. I mean, we did a whole episode on. Did you see the movie Sound of Freedom?
I sure did.
I went.
Yes.
I bought a whole bunch of tickets and I
Yeah.
gave them out on the show.
Yeah.
It was a great. And there's a new one coming out, and this show is going to be involved in next year's, which I don't want to tell you on air what the title of next year's show is, but it's good. You might be interested. So when they have repressed memories, are you using like biofeedback or hypnotism or anything to work with that? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, so there's a few ways to work with that. I would say three, and I'll list them in order here of the effectiveness in terms of like research. The most effective method here would be something called EMDR,
What is that?
which,
I remember that.
yeah, it.
They change the terms all the time. What does that stand for?
Yeah, it essentially tricks your brain into thinking that you're asleep. If you think about repressed memories, they're in your unconscious brain. And
Well, now you opened a whole segue here.
right,
So I think we're going to take a hard break right now.
Thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free compliments of me to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. What a great program, Acorns. Check out the QR code on the screen if you're watching, folks, or if you were able to pick up the code, or if you're driving, go back into iHeart and check the description, grab the link. If you click on my link, You don't have to spend any money, but you can learn about the stock market. And I give you your first $5 to get started and play with. It's a good opportunity. Free $5 for you. Maybe you get interested in the stock market. So now back to repressed memories, Doc. So in my experience, I've seen some like weird things where people just pop out of the blue and you're like, oh, what's wrong with them? And I'm seeing things. So you were going to go deep here. So the floor is yours, brother.
Yes, sir. So EMDR would be...
EMDR?
EMDR.
Okay.
Would be the most effective therapy for...
What does that stand for the folks out there?
It stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like REM. Like REM sleeping, rapid eye movement.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So if you think about unconscious memories or repressed memories, same thing. Think about the one time of day you're unconscious, and that would be when you're asleep. EMDR tricks your brain into thinking that you're asleep using bilateral stimulation.
Oh, this is like the 427 frequencies and stuff we were talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So it tricks you.
This is something that nobody should mess with alone without a professional.
Correct.
Like you.
Yes. You need someone that's certified in EMDR.
Right. And you are.
Yes. Yep.
Good to know. And we're going to put all his information, folks, in the description, bio and everything, so you can get more information later. Okay, go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So EMDR tricks your brain into thinking that you're asleep. I once saw a case where there was a person that was about 60 years old. He remembered being sexually abused as a child at about 5 years old. He had repressed that for 55 years, never came back to him.
This particular style of training did it?
Yes. Yep. EMDR did the trick. Everything came back. And you might think, well, you know, I don't want to remember that.
How long does it take to do this, EMDR? I just want the folks to better understand it because you're getting really good and I want them to know what it is. Because maybe somebody needs to.
Sure. Yeah. So the one thing about EMDR is when it works, and it doesn't work for everyone.
You have to really want it to work, right?
It depends on the person. It depends on what you've gone through. When it works, it works.
But we can say on air, I tried it out with the doc, good doc here.
Yeah.
Because I did little academic writing in college on biofeedback and stuff. So it does work. So this was one you had me doing the legs back.
Yes, sir.
So basically, for the folks that are watching TV, describe me so that they can see me doing what it is. Don't do this at home. This is what you do with a licensed professional. But we're trying to explain what it is. So they take both hands, right?
Yeah. So you bilateral stimulation, essentially when you're in REM sleep, when you're dreaming, your eyes move back and forth. And you can't feel this because you're asleep.
Right.
But bilateral stimulation means each side of the body one at a time. So you can tap on your knees, you can cross your arms.
You made me do this. Yep. Where my eyes closed.
Yep.
And within like 2 minutes, I came up with things I hadn't thought of in like years.
Yep.
It really does work. I don't know if I wanted to know those things, but.
You can cross your arms and tap on each shoulder. Yep.
Which one is more effective with children?
Most EMDR therapists actually use buzzers that you hold in each hand, and one will buzz in your right hand, it'll buzz in your left hand. It's very rhythmic, and it literally tricks your brain into thinking that you're asleep, and so all of those unconscious memories start to come back up. And again, you may think, this is not something that I want to remember. But here's the thing about that.
This is the important part, folks. This is the key right here to the whole show.
Here's the thing about
people
that.
People think they don't want to know about
it. Right. Yeah.
And tell them why they need to know.
Here's the thing is your brain, like if I said the word elephant right now, you probably just thought of an elephant. You probably just pictured an elephant in
a
your brain.
A big pink one in the middle of the room, of course, yeah.
And
piggy bank loaded with money.
You weren't consciously thinking about that, but your brain remembered it enough to be able to pull it back into your conscious brain.
Is this similar to people who have heightened sense of smell?
It is.
You smell a fragrance or something, and you're like, boom, it brings you to a new place.
It is. It is. Yeah. And
this is like forcing it there.
Right. And so let's say you were, you know, physically, sexually, emotionally abused as a child. You may not actively, consciously remember that, but your brain remembers that.
Which is probably
and
why they go to seek out the same
you.
People, right? I didn't mean to cut you off, but
yeah.
That's kind of what we said before, right? They go to find the same people.
Right.
Because of the subconscious.
Yes. It still consciously affects you. And so the only way to actually deal with that is to pull it back into your conscious brain.
So let me ask you a question, because when I did it with, for practice, for fun, you know, it wasn't serious stuff, but I didn't want to think about things, you know, family death and stuff like that. So how do you handle that when something huge pops up during this, like, intensive process?
Yeah, so one thing that a trained EMDR therapist should always do is alert you that EMDR, you can accomplish in about 2 sessions of EMDR what you could in 10 to 12 sessions of normal therapy.
Right.
And it can be very intense, and things can come up that, again, like the guy who'd repressed something for, you know, 55 years, when those type of things come up, it can be very intense. And so
you
normally
gotta be committed to do the fight at that point.
Yes.
Because you're kind of like in my world, you woke into the devil. I didn't want to say woke.
Right.
Because I'd be censored for saying woke.
Yeah.
But it's essentially that's what it is, right? You brought the demon out.
Yep.
The demon's here. And now you have to confront it.
Yeah. And the only way, the demon's going to be there either way is the thing.
So it's never going to go away?
It's never going to go away as long as it's in your unconscious. And so the only way to actually defeat that and deal with it is to bring it back into the conscious. And maybe you cry for 3 sessions in a row and you have an absolute, you know, like breakdown for a few sessions.
Right.
But
there is a good thing for a cry, right? I mean, it is a good thing once in a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, once you bring that back into your conscious brain, you're actually able to deal with it and even confront the person that did that to you, whether it was physical, sexual, emotional
abuse. As an adult.
Yeah.
And, you know, legally, they changed the laws in some places, because generally how it worked, that there was a statute of limitations on misdemeanor, 5 years, 3 years, depending on the state, 10 years for a felony, et cetera. But then with children who were sexually assaulted, the statute of limitations, they were already over 18,
right.
So they couldn't report.
Yep.
So the timeline starts at age 18. So folks, if you're an offender, don't be one, because you'd be a jerk, and then I'll come looking for you. But for real, the timeline of the statute of limitations for the government to prosecute you is 10 years from the age of maturity, aging at 18. Which is good now for you guys, because people disclose and they're like, yeah, my father. And then it's 19 years old. Bingo. We'll get the guy. Yeah.
And speaking of fathers, this is something worth mentioning. You want to be very careful if there are any school teachers, you know, daycare workers, anyone like that, nannies. And
yeah, nanny cam all the way, right?
Yeah, you start to experience that, hey, maybe this kid's wetting the bed. He has emotional development problems. He's, you know, every time his dad comes in the house, he recoils. If you're experiencing that, be very careful.
Like, it's kind of like when a child flinches. When they get too close, you move and they flinch. That
right.
It's like something that
yeah.
Well, why are you punching? That's your sign of defense.
Be very careful how you report that.
I'm with you on this one, because it opens up a can of worms for people.
Yeah, but because let's say you're a school teacher and you see signs of sexual abuse, and you know dad comes to pick the child up, and you say, "Hey, I think your child's being sexually abused or physically abused, whatever it might be."
He goes off the radar screen forever.
Yeah, he could be gone forever.
Yeah, if you're in North Carolina, it's really bad because it's only by counties.
Right.
Yeah.
So you never know if it's the dad, an uncle, a grandfather.
Isn't it disgusting? The grandfather just really nauseates me. I mean, it all nauseates me, but like literally. grandpa. You know what else I want to segue into with what you were just saying? Is I don't really like mandatory report. I think you should not be required to report because there is some discretion. It's same in the legal field. You have what they call prosecutorial discretion. So you can, like, what are you going to prosecute? What are you not? Mandatory reporting, everybody's dumping into the system. So how? There's two reasons I see on how why that doesn't work with the system. Number one, you're bogged down with too many cases. So then they start throwing cases out that just seem stupid. Like with the neighbor that calls because they hate the person, right? Those calls. And then the people that actually are affected are not being seen because they're going out on stupid cases. What's your opinion? What say you, doctor?
Yeah, mandating reporting can be...
I just realized we have our own Fraser Crane right now. You got that astute going on here.
What, one of my favorite shows growing up.
I loved him too. Yeah, he's back, you know. Maybe Fraser will call him.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd love to.
Maybe we can get a spinoff show for you.
Yeah, mandated reporting can be tricky. You kind of have to judge it from a psychology, from a counseling perspective on how...
You got to break that down for the audience.
Yeah, so you have to judge how severe it is.
Give us an example to explain what you mean.
So a child that comes in that has ADD and possibly ODD, which is oppositional defiance disorder, they were not necessarily sexually abused. It's possible because those are symptoms of it.
Right.
But, you know, let's say they're oppositionally defiant and they have a conduct disorder and they're wetting the bed at 12 years old. And every time their dad brings them in, they don't want them, you know, the dad to come into session. Right. When you start to combine symptoms like that, you kind of have to judge.
But, I mean, you have to judge. Do they want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't mean he's the offender.
And one
and
of the
guys really in this, these systems are really, we're really unfairly treated.
Yeah.
And the whole, I could go on about family court. I'm actually appearing on another show about that. I should think you can come on.
So
continue. I'm sorry. Also, yeah. I have to let you know, because this is not a podcast, we are a live TV radio show. We are at, we've about 5 minutes left, and I want to give you the floor.
Yeah.
And I want to get some more information about you on the end. But you're welcome back for part two if you want to come back tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And that airs on an old separate morning network at 9 o'clock West Coast.
Yeah. I guess one of the things that I would want to share with America as far as child abuse goes is to watch for a multitude of symptoms, whether it's PTSD, depression, anxiety, peer rejection, problems with attention. You know, there are so many signs, bedwetting, bruises.
I know, we could spend forever on this. I don't want to cut you off because you are so knowledgeable. So I'm going to call it now. Would you like to come back for another show tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Same audience, but additional stations. Okay. And airing West Coast at 9. Yeah. Oh, I know. You got the floor. I didn't want to cut you. They'll cut it literally.
Yeah. And there's one more thing that America should know. And that's that most of the rape and child abuse cases that are reported are female. The research shows that males are just as susceptible to rape and child abuse, especially child abuse. And so
I was thinking the sex thing because the guy's like, "Yeah, I want my teacher." They think it's cool,
right?
Right. Yeah. But it's really not cool if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything from child abuse from a father, a mother, an aunt,
by
an
the
uncle,
way, we had like 150 callers on hold. So guys, call back tomorrow.
Yeah. A teacher. It's all statutory rape if you're not 18 years old.
Let me now explain that. and then I'm going to go into a closing monologue. Statutory rape, folks, because there is differences in the jurisdiction from which you reside. So I'm going to speak for New York and New Jersey right now, because I'm keenly knowledgeable in those particular states that have a very good legal system. So statutory rape in the state of New Jersey is when you have sexual relations willingly. They're talking willingly. So anything other than that is just straight up rape.
Sure.
Willingly sexual relations with somebody who is under the age of 16, but they must be less than 4 years difference. So basically, a 19-year-old man or girl may have sex with a 15-year-old. Yeah, a 15-year-old. And this, no, government? Me? Oh, yeah, right. Oh, I definitely like that. Say that into the mic real loud.
Yeah, the other thing about that is they can't be intoxicated. They have to be...
cannot commit. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they have to be able to consent.
Right. I'm glad you... we were just talking about that, and that's something that comes up. So with the statutory in New Jersey, it's a four-year rule. So bottom line, if you are 15, then you may date a 19-year-old, and your parents have no say in statutory rape. However, there are some caveats. Caveat one, folks, if you are a person of authority over that child, this is the confusion for people. This it is, folks, right here. Pull back that curtain, giving you a real deal. In New Jersey, at least, specifically. If you are a teacher, that doesn't mean that it's statutory rape. But if you are that student's teacher, it is rape. Because we had a case with a police officer who was a cop in a neighboring town. And he met a girl down in Jersey Shore, my favorite place. And he started dating her, and it went bad. And she was in high school, and he was got no charges because he did not have power over her. He met her on the beach, and it was consensual. Had he been a cop in school resource officer in her school, it would be statutory rape. 13 in New Jersey is always illegal, always statutory. You cannot consent to 13. Be very careful. Don't be stupid. It's really not worth it, folks. Now, New York is a little bit different, but we're coming to a hard close. And I must put a disclaimer out here. Number one, the good doctor here is offering you informational advice. He is not providing therapeutic environment. He's not, maybe not licensed in your jurisdiction, because our show is in 54 countries, 2,300 FM stations, iHeartRadio, all that. So every location, he may not be licensed. Doesn't mean he couldn't be, or he couldn't refer you to someone. But I just want to be clear to my bots and trolls. He is here to inform and educate the public in a broad-based manner, not in a therapeutic setting. With that, caveat two, when I'm discussing the constitutionality of an issue and the legal process, I am providing you professorial advice and education, not legal advice, because I too may not have any dealings with your jurisdiction. So sadly, in this current day and age, Doc, we have to put this out there because we get a lot of reports on us regarding stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, way too many.
So with that, Doc, I really, really appreciate you coming to the show.
I appreciate you having me.
And you will be back tomorrow, because we have callers and we've been telling them to call back tomorrow. And that they're actually taking numbers of some of the people, so they actually don't have to wait online. So if you've waited online, you will actually get to the front of the line because Thomas took your number. Thank you again, Doc. Give your name out again one more time for the folks. Tom, give it to him. Dr. Fraser Crane. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to call you Fraser.
Yeah. We'll go with Dr. Fraser Crane for now.
Dr. Fraser Crane, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks. It is the exciting conclusion of another episode of The Hostile Zone. Syndication within our first year. 7 days a week. We're on more than 2,000 stations. 7 days a week. Mondays, two live shows. One at 7 p.m. Eastern. One at 9 p.m. Western. Separate networks. Also, the rest of the week, every night, 9 p.m. West Coast. Prime time. The Hostile Zone's coming at you. And in every single podcast platform, we are there. Just Google The Hostile Zone. you will find us. Thank you again, because I am nothing without you. You come here to listen to me bloviate for an hour, and I thank you.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting out, get through the night, that a flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave?